Our Heavenly Father, we do pray, Lord, that you might guide and lead in the preaching of your word. This morning, have your will done within our lives. Satan is attacking us, Lord, in every way, shape, and form. And did the same thing with Job, Lord, on the biggest degree. But it's the same old thing. And so we look to you, Lord. You're the only one that can give us the strength that we need, also the heart, the courage to live for you. May we always be optimistic as we live by faith each day. And thank you for the power that you give us to live for you. Bless in the preaching this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 8, if you would. I think it's an unusual message this morning, but a lot of mine are that way, it seems. Let's all stand as we just read a few verses here. Ecclesiastes, chapter 8. Of course, the word Ecclesiastes means preacher, and it was Solomon that wrote the book of Ecclesiastes from a man's point of view, more than even God's, but we can still learn greatly from it. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, I call your attention to verse 11. It says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. Message this morning, everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. You may be seated. Big problem that we see, and it disturbs all of us. When we see good things happening to bad people and bad things happening to good people. And this deals with this a little. Years ago, I was watching a newscast, and it referenced an Amtrak accident that occurred in Maryland, if you remember back years ago. In that accident, the Amtrak engineer was smoking marijuana, drinking, was not paying attention to the warning lights on the track. As a result, he allowed his passenger train to collide with a freight train. In the collision, dozens of people were either seriously injured or killed. The engineer served 5 years in prison. In Kentucky, a drunk driver, all drunk drivers are from Kentucky. In Kentucky, a drunk driver hit a church activity bus head on. The fuel tank in the bus ruptured, and 27 teenagers on the bus were burned to death. The drunk driver served a 9-year sentence and is now free. But those are horrible accidents, and we see different things like that all the time, where it's really grabs us, I believe, in our soul, that good innocent people get hurt by the sins of people that don't care, don't conduct themselves right at all in their lives. Life is like that sometimes. Doesn't go well with you, but it goes okay with the sinner down the street. And should be that the one that loves God should be enjoying the blessings, and they're in a wheelchair in a hospital or some kind of home or whatever because of the wrong being done to them. So when we look around, we see injustice that goes on, especially in our government these days. Devil gets after our heart and after our faith. And I want to encourage you in that way, that everything is going to be all right. God has a way of leveling out things over the years. And God cannot do wrong. But let me prove it. The problem that bothers us is in verse 12, doesn't it? Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it will be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But then it seems like a contradiction in the next verse even, but it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. King James Version, of course, is the reason why we use it. It doesn't change the words, but you always want to look at the words. It says in verse 12 that this sinner and his days be prolonged. If it does happen. And then in verse 13 it says, it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days. It's not in your control. It's not in the sinner's control. God will take out the sinner when he wants to take him out. But he says, it will be well with the one that fears God. We love singing the hymn, do we not? It is well with my soul. And that was after a great tragedy, losing a whole family, that he finally came around and saw that. Why do the righteous suffer and the wicked prosper? That's the focus of the book of Job, the oldest book in the Bible. Job's friends concluded that the righteous don't suffer. You must have did something wrong, Job. And on it goes. But that's not the truth of it. Many other books in the Bible deal with this as well. Psalm 73 does, especially, and Psalm 37, fret not thyself of evildoers, so forth. It starts off in verse 1. And I'm sure you've read it a lot. Psalm 49 deals with it. The idea that God gives us, we believers in him, We that follow the Lord, we have some kind of immunity away from trials. No, that's not so at all. But you see that kind of stuff preached on TV and everything else, you know, the prosperity gospel. I have a message that I preached years ago, the prosperity gospel of Job. it doesn't work out just like that, that's for sure. But don't get me wrong, there is a list of benefits to being saved and following the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But boy, we do get some things that aren't things that we appreciate. But the benefits of wonderful salvation and the forgiveness of sin, eternal security, a home in heaven, the presence of God in our lives, the promise of His help and provision and power, all of that. But you know, most of those are spiritual in nature, rather than in the physical realm, and that's why we have a problem accepting those things that come our way many times, okay? A lot of things in our lives can go well, and then all of a sudden we see reversals. And we see these things happening in the loved ones and those that that we love, even like this church that I mentioned before, Temple Baptist, and other churches. I get an update every couple weeks, and about preachers in New York State and everything. Keep in touch with all of that, and he always lists prayer requests at the very end of it, and it's always pray for churches without pastors. There's too many to number right here in our state. And things that are going on. We got to watch that we don't get our eyes on the trials when they start to multiply in our lives. Or you can get to an attitude of what Solomon had in the very first. Go back to Ecclesiastes 1, the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and in verse 2. He says, "Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all labor which he taketh under the sun?" Then also in chapter 2 and in verse 23 as well, he says, "For all his days are sorrows, and his travail grief, yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is also vanity." You can get a bad outlook on life. Get your eyes off of Jesus, and you're going down the wrong road, and you won't have the strength to be faithful and continue to live for the Lord. I want you to understand that there are no accidents with the Lord. When a cowboy applied for an insurance policy, the agent asked, "Have you had any accidents?" After a moment's reflection, the applicant responded, "Nope, but a Bronco did kick in two of my ribs last summer. And a couple of years ago, a rattlesnake bit me on the ankle." The puzzled agent said, "Wouldn't you call those accidents?" "Nah," said the cowboy, "they did it on purpose." Amen. And so, no accidents. Amen. Not with the Lord. Especially God's children. They're there for a purpose. They're for a reason. Sometimes we're going to have to wait until we get to the other side to get that all straightened out. But we can expect there will be pressure placed on us from time to time with physical things that happen to us, things we don't expect, but the promise is that He blesses us through it all. God always has a blessing, one way or another. And that's why I'm glad this morning to be able to tell you everything's going to be all right. Go to 2 Corinthians 4. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians 4, verse 17, it says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Praise the Lord for that. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end." God is always working within your life. And no matter if something negative, let's say, comes into your life, we are always living in an area of trials, burdens that we will have come upon us, obligations that we didn't plan for, and this and that, and we couldn't see it coming. Romans 8:28. Everybody knows Romans 8:28. And for those that love God and are called according to His purpose, all of it's going to work together for that. These great steam liners, these great battleships, and every kind of big ship that you have, most of it's made of steel. On these ships, they're experimenting with that. All kinds of different things right now, but the thing is that just a piece of steel that is used to put that ship together, if you take that piece of steel just by itself and you throw it overboard, it's going to sink. But if you take that piece of steel and it's riveted in place or welded, whatever, that'll be part of the ship, all of that work together to keep it afloat. And it's almost indestructible when it's used together with other things. Well, that's kind of what our lives are like as well. In these ocean vessels, we are traveling through life for sure as pilgrims, and but all of this, these bad things that we don't. Plan on and can get us down and get us off track. I know plenty of Christians that have been caught by this, but the Lord has all kinds of promises that you can't lose your salvation. John 10:28, we're familiar with, and Hebrews 7:25, Romans 8:1, we got peace with God, brother. And as we put our trust in Him, we have eternal life no matter what. But even in the area of the church, when people get their eyes on someone else, in some other instance where they don't deserve what they get, but you have to go through a hard time. And you can get the wrong attitude toward the Lord. You know, even in the church house, you got to understand that the church is what Jesus said, "I will build." I will build. It's none of your business. You just obey what you're supposed to do in the church, and I'll take care of everything else. And so even though bad things even happen to the church and other Christians are killed, as what just happened right down through the centuries, we're not used to that with our freedom and everything, the way we've been brought up and the protection of our military and everything. But it's not so in other countries around the world. Everything needs God's approval for it to happen. Nothing's going to happen unless God allows it in a Christian's life. So we have to come to that place and understand it. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Familiar, but I'm afraid we... Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34. Because we're very familiar with verse 33, are we not? The thing that we're supposed to be seeking is the kingdom of God. And living righteously. The kind of righteousness he had when he was here. And then he says, all of these other material things will be added unto you. There he says, therefore, in verse 34, take no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Is there going to be evil things that happen? Hello? There are going to be evil things happen. Jesus said there was. But he says that evil thing is tomorrow. What you do today is seek the kingdom of God. So many times we worry about what's going on. He says, he uses the word sufficient. You look that up and it says the meaning of that is adequate. It's enough. It's just what you need. God will always give you things that are sufficient in your life, and tomorrow is one of them. Whatever's going to come tomorrow, he will give you grace and power and wisdom to go through that thing. Guess when he's going to give it to you? Tomorrow. Not today. We're not to take any thought about worrying about what's going on tomorrow. He's not telling you not to prepare. Look at verse 27. Matthew 6 and verse 27. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Cubit is normally 18 inches as an average. In the Bible, that'd be a lot. That'd be a growth spurt, wouldn't it? Amen. But you can't do it about thinking about it, about worrying about it, about wishing about it. He says there's some things you just can't change. It's not in your power. Look at verse 30 as well. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall ye not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? God rebukes us about tomorrow. Take no thought about that. Because whatever is going to be, something sufficient that is given by God will take care of that thing. Tomorrow. Tomorrow's none of your business. God's in charge of tomorrow.
because you may not be here tomorrow. So we can get work ourselves up to a weary fit and so forth and all of that. We don't get to choose what we're going to get tomorrow. So we're trying to do things that we can't do. You think you're going to be frustrated? Yeah, I guess. What can we do today? Seek first. That you can do, because he tells you to. Remember Paul when he was on the ship? I preached that a few months ago. And that great storm came up and so forth. Why were they in that storm? Because he was overruled by an authority over him that said, yeah, we're going to go through this storm. The captain of the ship said that. But he warned them. He said, you better not. But they went through it anyway. It's out of his control. But you know what? He didn't have to worry about it. Doesn't say that he was apprehensive about all of that. He just warned them what's going to happen. Because God told him what's going to happen. What do you expect when you go through Herculean, that great storm? It's still going to happen. No matter how much you worry about it tomorrow, it's still going to happen. You face it tomorrow. You can't face it today. You have nothing sufficient except for today. When it gets to tomorrow, he'll give you the things that are sufficient for tomorrow. Because maybe tomorrow is going to take more power than you have to use today in your life. These are things about what God says. Remember I mentioned Romans 8:28. All of those things work together for those that love God. Can you make all of those things work together in life? Is it in your power to do that? What can you do in that verse? You can love God. That's in your power. Love God. Concentrate on what you can do. What God's told us to do. You need to love God better every day. Sweeter every day it needs to be within your life, because that's what you can do. But you can't control what's going to go on tomorrow, for sure. But God's going to take all of these things and he's going to work them, and he's seeing how much you really love him. There's a great promise there. Do what he says to do, because that's what you can do. You can't decide what's going to come into your life, but you can decide that you'll love God. Proverbs 22:7, anybody do you remember what that says? Finances, normally we talk about. The borrower is servant to the lender. Remember that? Proverbs 22:7. You know what you're doing? When you're worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow, you're borrowing from tomorrow and bringing it in here, into today. That's not for you today. That's tomorrow. Some people take it from yesterday. They borrow the trouble and the problems from yesterday. No, that was yesterday. Today, you love God, you come closer to God, you seek first the things of God. That's the way that he let it down. You don't borrow sorrows and griefs and failures from yesterday or tomorrow. In other words, don't destroy today by worrying about tomorrow. How about Psalm 118:24? Somebody know that verse? We sing it.
This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made, that the Lord hath...
This is the day. We will rejoice in it. This one, right now. The one you're living, right now. In that pew, right now. You're to rejoice in it. Oh, I'm going to work till everything works out and this and that. Boy, I'm really going to rejoice. No, that's not the way it works. This is the day. He hasn't given you tomorrow yet. You don't know anything about tomorrow. You do about today, don't you? Mm-hmm. Go to 2 Corinthians 3. Second Corinthians chapter 3. Interesting, that word sufficient. 2 Corinthians 3:5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Amen. If you get anything out of this rambling of this sick preacher this morning, get this. Focus on him. Do not focus on tomorrow. Matthew 6. 34. Take no thought for the morrow. Sufficient unto the day. He's always sufficient. He's always got the answer. It gets us uptight when we don't get the answer from God when we demand it. Lord, right now, tell me, what should I do? Yeah. I learned a long time ago, God's not on my timetable. He is Lord. He is Lord. Everything's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. I don't know what you're going through, but God does. Looking unto Jesus. You remember that? Hebrews chapter 12. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was laid before him, that he endured the cross. Don't get that mixed up. The joy came in ministering those 33 years the Lord did. He was joying in doing the miracles, bringing the message, being the Savior, because this was all in the Word of God. It was all planned. This was the plan of salvation being lived out. Boy, he was having all kinds of joy. That's why he could endure the cross. This is the day we will rejoice in it. How about you? Don't miss out on the joy. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 3, please. I hope you're reading through the Bible each day, using these booklets that we took our great wealth of our church to buy and give to you. Read through the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 25. I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain of Lebanon, but the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee, speak no more unto me of this matter. He wanted to go further than what the Lord had planned for him. Did you know the Lord has a plan for your life? You may not see the things that you want to see. It's not in the will of God for you. Boy, you believe what if the Lord said, don't even bring it up again. Don't you ask me again on this. He's the Lord. He's the Lord. Sometimes we're not content with what he's given within our lives. Go to Job 14, please. Book of Job. You like studying the Word? That's all I know how to do. Job chapter 14 and in verse 1, I call your attention. He says, man that is born a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Amen. That's exactly what it is. Look at verse 5. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Your life's already been determined. God already has the finish line the day you're going to die. Your days are determined. And it's the same with that unsaved guy too. That brings us right back to Ecclesiastes that I started off with. That his days may be prolonged. You know what? I'm going to live as long as God says I'm going to live. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to fret about it. That's not in my business. I'm not taking any thought about that at all. I'm not worrying about it. I'm not losing sleep over it. Not biting my fingernails about it. Because that's not my duty. My duty is to take the sufficiency that God gives me today, seek him and love him. That I can do. Because I can't do the other stuff. Can't do the other stuff. Not going to happen. Bible tells us in 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We got this COVID thing going around and everything. Oh, what's going to happen tomorrow? Where am I going to be tomorrow? Why? Fear. You're willingly putting yourself in torment today when you're supposed to be rejoicing in it. Everybody knows Malachi chapter 3 if you're a Baptist. Amen. Bring all of the tithes into the horse, into the storehouse. Amen. So forth. Well, that's what he tells us to do. Take 10% and go ahead and honor God with that. That was the Old Testament. And so we can go way beyond that in the New Testament. Grace always goes further. But he said the verse just before that, he said, you're cursed with a curse. Your whole nation, because you do not bring your tithes. We always worry about things and everything, part of the message here. But just let me ask you a question. Because a lot of people say, I can't tithe. I can't take 10%. Wow, that's a lot. What's easier to do? Do you think it's easier to live on 90%, to keep 90% with the blessing of God on you? Or is it easier to keep 100% to yourself and live under his curse? Which one's easier? I know this is Old Testament and all of the dispensational stuff, I know. I'm just asking. I don't know about you, but I want God's blessing on my life. I want to love him. I want to grow in him. So I'm going to bring all of those things. That he promised to open up the windows of heaven, pour me out a blessing. Amen. Might as well do that, huh? Remember Martha? Martha and Mary. Boy, Martha is the cook. Boy, she's the one cleaning the house and getting everything all straightened up for the Lord. And Mary, her sister, just sitting down there worshiping the Lord, sitting at his feet and learning and growing. Guess who's the complainer? Martha. Lord, tell her, help me. He said, Martha, Martha. Whew. Mary found the good part. You worship first, then you work. We're supposed to rest first, then we're supposed to work. That's what God's telling us about it. Matthew 25 talks about the one-talent Christian. Remember, I close with this. God gave out all of the different talents to the different guys, and the guy that had one talent, he didn't do anything with it. He hid it in the ground because he feared. He said, you're wicked, sir. You're supposed to invest. You're supposed to bring things back to God, increase for his glory. But the whole idea is, don't, because of fear, don't hide your talent today because you fear about tomorrow. Don't hide. Open up. Give out the gospel. Love God. And realize that he's sufficient, you aren't sufficient. Trust in him today. Do what you're supposed to do today, and the blessing will be there. Everything's going to be okay. Because God's tomorrow. He's today, and he's tomorrow too. You're still in today. He's in tomorrow. He's in the next day. That's why we can rest in him. That's why we don't have to worry. That's why everything's going to be okay. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word of God. Help us, Lord, to understand. Help us to do what we should do as Christians and be faithful to you every day of our life. Thank you for those that apply that within their life, this may have been a little help to them. Help us to live for you. Be the testimony we should be. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. And turn to